World, the word world is used in a negative sense. The world is against God. The world is against God's people. The world is against God's church. There is sin in this world. Sin brings physical death. There is a lot of problems in this world that we live in. And here is the question this morning. Have you been in a catastrophic storm of life? Have you been in a chaotic moment in your life? In that moment, what do you fear? Or what was your fear? Who do you look to when you are in trouble, when there's anxiety within you? Who do you put your confidence in? These are a few questions that will help us as we look into this passage in front of us of Psalm 46. And I could not think of an example that we could all relate to than when on the 23rd of March 2020, a nationwide lockdown was announced by Mr. the President. It was the first family meeting, as we will call them later on. This affected everyone in this country, if not in the world. Whether you are younger or you are older, you were affected. Whether you are rich or you are poor, you were affected. Everyone was affected. It affected also all spheres of life. Schools, churches, businesses, everything was affected. It was a general panic everywhere. No one knew what to expect. No one had experienced COVID before, so you couldn't really prepare yourself for that. And I'm pretty sure everyone in this hall this morning has a story to tell when it comes to COVID and how it affected their lives. What was your greatest fear when COVID was there? Who did you run to? Who did you put your confidence in? Of course, today we can look back and see how God was our fortress. He was our mighty fortress, our refuge, and ever-present help during those difficult times. God is always there to help, providing refuge, security, and peace. God's power is complete, and His ultimate victory is certain. He will not fail to rescue those who love Him, those who belong to Him. So what we have in front of us is Psalm 46, which is one of the hymns that celebrate deliverance from some great enemies. The author of Psalm 46 are known as the sons of Korah. These guys were the temple assistants. This group of Levites served as musicians in the temple of God in the Old Testament. They wrote and arranged and planned music for the people of God to use when they were going to the temple to worship God. So this psalm, Psalm 46, may have been written when the Assyrian army invaded the land and surrounded Jerusalem, as we read in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 13, all the way to chapter 19, verse 37. And commentators who write some commentaries of the Bible, they point to the possibility that the sons of Korah had a time of national distress in mind when they were writing this psalm. So during the reign of King Hezekiah in Judah, the king of Assyria besieged Jerusalem. Hezekiah knew what Assyria had done to Israel, which was in the north, a short time earlier. So Assyria besieged Israel. They destroyed Jerusalem. They took people into captivity. But also what they did, they brought people from outside to come and dwell in Israel, a kind of resettlement of Israel by another group of people. We read that in 2 Kings chapter 17 from verse 5 and verse 6 and verse 24. So this Assyria was capable of creating disaster. They were ruthless. And as it turned its murder sight on Judah and Jerusalem, the capital city, it created a distress. So when Hezekiah, who is the king in the days of prophet Isaiah, when he sees Assyrian troops surrounding Jerusalem and hears of the threats that it poses to them, he tears his clothes. He puts on sackcloth. He goes to the temple to beg for God's help. And God, the refuge and the strength of his people, he hears King Hezekiah's prayers and he delivers. God tells Hezekiah, as we read in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 34, I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. And when the people of Jerusalem got up the next morning, they see the Lord's work. What did God do? The angel of the Lord has struck down 185,000 of the Assyrian troops. As our former president would have said, listen carefully, 185,000 of the Assyrian troops were dead. There were dead bodies piled around the walls of Jerusalem. And the next verse simply says, then the king of Assyria departed and went home. God totally squashed the threat to his people. And no wonder the sons of Korah called Yahweh the Lord of hosts, the Lord of angel armies, who is with his people. The covenant God of steadfast love, the God of Jacob, is present with overwhelming power, as we read in verse 11 of our Psalm 46. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The invasion reached the wall of Jerusalem and came to nothing. So having this in the background of our mind, now we can join the sons of Korah in singing Psalm 46, that the Lord God is our refuge, our strength, and very present help in trouble. But what do we learn about this psalm? What do we learn about God from this psalm? We'll be looking at 3 points. The first one will be, God is our present help in this troubled earth. So God is our present help in this troubled earth. Second, we'll look at the perfect power of God. And third, we'll look at the perfect deliverance. Those are the 3 points we'll be looking at as we dig into our passage this morning. One, God is our present help in this troubled earth. Let's read together verses 1 to 3 of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. So the psalm starts by declaring one of God's character. In verse 1, he is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So by God telling us that he is our present help in trouble, he tells us that indeed, in this world, there is trouble. You don't have to look around. You know that in this world, there is trouble. And the metaphors of natural disasters are mentioned here. But God is our present help. God is the present help of his people in the midst of the troubles of this world. The fear of mountains or cities to suddenly crumble into the sea, whether that is a result of a natural disaster like earthquakes or maybe floods or maybe volcanoes that erupt, or maybe that's a result of human wickedness like the fear of nuclear blast that could happen. This is something that makes us uneasy. When we think of all this disaster that would happen, we are in an uneasy position. But this psalm says that even in the world, if the world was to end now, we need not to fear. In the face of utter destruction, the writer is expressing a quiet confidence in God's ability to save him. And the Bible is clear. God is our refuge, even in the face of total disaster and destruction. He is our refuge, our strength. He's not merely a temporary retreat where we can just go for a moment. He is our eternal refuge and can provide strength in any circumstance. And the question here is, what is the basis of this confidence in God as a present help? Well, the basis of Israel's confidence is stated in verse 7 as well as in verse 11, which are like the chorus of this psalm. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. We normally read in the Bible talks about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. But here in this psalm, we have the God of Jacob, which is repeated twice. The God of Jacob is our fortress. What is interesting about Jacob? Well, all we know from the Bible is that Jacob lived for 147 years, but the Bible does not tell us much that during his lifetime, what is described in verse 1, like natural disaster or these things happened during his lifetime, flood, earthquake. His whole life was a kind of quiet life outwardly, as one could see. But still, his story is full of ups and downs of a different kind. When we read Genesis from chapter 25 all the way to chapter 50, that's where we read about Jacob, his life. We can see there were some crises in his life. There were some dramas. I remember he was deceived by his father-in-law. He had to marry two wives, Leah and Rachel. There were some deceptions in his life. He had to steal the childbirth, birthright from his brother Esau. And later on, there were a kind of tension between him and his brother, some rebellion, heartache, personalities that collide in his life. We all find that in Jacob's life. So his life actually was full of events. His kids wanted to kill one of them. You remember the story of Joseph, how his brothers plotted to kill him, but they ended up selling him to the Egyptians. As one author said, the descendants of Jacob were not proud of Jacob's life story, but they were proud of the God who had taken hold of such a man and such a family, brought them under control, and used their turbulence and harnessed their energy for his own purposes. So God used Jacob's life and circumstances. So basically what God of Jacob would point to, out to would be the fact of the God who made something good out of it with us also. He can do that. That's what we are taking from the idea of God of Jacob. And I wonder if this morning, if this resonates in your ears, and what it means for you, that the Lord is the Lord of hosts, the Lord of angel armies, who is with us, the God of Jacob, who is our fortress. Our second point, perfect power. We read that from verses 4 to 7. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. So many great cities in the world have rivers through them which sustain the people's lives by making agriculture, by facilitating trade with other cities. But that was not the case for Jerusalem. Jerusalem had no river, apart from the tunnel King Hezekiah made that brought streams of water in the city, as we can read in 2 Kings 20:20. Jerusalem had no river, but it was God who, like a river, sustained the people's lives. As long as the people lived and submitting to God, the city was invincible. As long as God was among his people, they would not fear anything. But when the people abandoned God, as we read in the Old Testament many times, God no longer protected them, and he delivered them to the enemies. The city of God, what is that? That's just in the Old Testament a way to refer to Jerusalem. Remember, Jerusalem was the place where the temple was built. It was the place where it symbolized the presence of God amongst his people. So the physical location of Jerusalem symbolizes a spiritual reality, God amongst his people. And as the New Testament unfolds, we come to see that the city of God will be the heavenly community where God and his people one day will live for all eternity in perfect fellowship. That's what we learn about the city of God. When you look at Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 4, it gives us that picture where God, Jesus, is dwelling with his people. Back to Psalm 46, verse 6. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, and the earth melts. Here again we have the image of a God who is in total control, as he always is. And the nations here represent the every evil power mobilized against God. We see today the church nationwide or worldwide threatened by persecution of any kind. People who are believers are dying because of their faith in God. And the question is, what confidence does the church have of surviving, of overcoming all these troubles around? Well, we read in verse 4, the water supply, the image here of God being the source, the river for his people. He is among his people. Revelation 22 verse 1 and 2 also points to that. So the church has the confidence because God, as a river, he is among his people. The church has confidence because in verse 5, God is the one who rescues. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. So God is the one who delivers her people. The church has confidence. Why? Because it's God's voice that created everything and that is speaking again. He utters his voice, the earth melts. There's hope for the troubled church. Why? Because of God's unfailing grace, God's promise of a new day, and the collapse of every evil power. All these are true in Christ. The paradox of verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. The paradox of this verse points to Christ. The Lord is both with us and he is our fortress. Jesus is with us. And with us within the city, with us within the church. And at the same time, we can take refuge in him. The God is with us. Our third point, perfect deliverance. Verses 8 to 11. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Verse 8. Come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation to the earth. This verse once again invites us to come and see God's power to destroy. Of course, we do not want a God who is weak. We rejoice in the fact that our God, the God of the Bible, is all-powerful. He is almighty. We have seen people around us who have got good intentions, but with little power, and they cannot do much. How many times have we come face to face with abuse in our world in front of us? How many times have we come with a situation where we lack, only if I had power to do something, I would have done it. Only if I had power, I would have changed this situation here right now. We think of people who have been dying in Ukraine, people who have been dying in Gaza, and we warn the Lord, if I had power to stop that war, I would have just done this and the war stops. We think in our country, the abuse of women, and sometimes we warn the Lord, how can we stop this? At the same time, we've also come across people who are wealthy, who have got influence, who might have power, but who do nothing about the evil around our world. We have seen how wickedness is everywhere. All kinds All turn that we turn, there's wickedness happening. People are dying for no reason. People are killing each other. People have got power, but they don't care. But this is not with our God, with the God that we are reading in Psalm 46. This God cares. He is good, and he does act against wickedness. And this is what this psalm is telling us. How the Assyrian army was decimated is just one of the many examples of how God himself overcomes the forces of evil, the forces of wickedness. But of course, this also points forward for a final and universal destruction that will happen for all that trouble our world, for all the evil. And the ending war all over the earth must mean the end of the deep evil that causes war and the eventual destruction of the many who do seem to get away with the crimes. So we can get comfort to know that our God is acting and he will make sure that evil is dealt with. And we know that God will act at this level, and this will happen when Christ returns finally to put an end to everything. Christ will eventually win every single battle. That's the confidence that we have. In fact, Jesus himself, he is our safe fortress. He has fought for you and for me on that cross when he died for your sins, for my sins. And remember, sin and death are our greatest enemies. But Jesus has fought for us. He has conquered sin and death on our behalf. Not only he did that in the past, but even today he's still fighting for us now as we daily overcome the sins in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. He is with us. He's fighting with us on a daily basis. But also, he will fight for us when he comes again to finally put an end to all evil and to take us to be with him for all eternity. So he is our mighty fortress. He is our warrior. He has won each and every of our battles. And if this is who Jesus is, to who should we look to when we are in trouble, when we are anxious? So be still is a command that the Lord is giving to his people in this psalm. But also, it is addressed to the opposition, forces that are against God, or the wickedness. Just like the literal water in Galilee, when we read Mark chapter 4 and verse 39, when Jesus calmed the storm, this is the same word, be still. War and destruction are inevitable. We live in a world that is evil. Trouble is everywhere. But so is God's final victory. So war and destruction, they don't have the final word. But God has the final word because he wins at the end. At that time, all will stand quietly before the Lord Almighty. How proper then for us to be still now, reverently honoring him and his power and his majesty. Take time each day to be still and exalt God. His exaltation among the nation is as yet a future hope. But in the meanwhile, we have been assured from the outset that he is in every sense a present help too. So when you go through the trouble of this world, the wickedness of this world, the most catastrophic moment in your life, that these words of Psalm 46 resonate in your ears, that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, that He is always there. What He has been on so many occasions in the past, even when we read Psalm 46, how He saved Hezekiah, when we read Exodus, how He delivered His people from Egypt, what He has been, that's what He continues to be to His people, even today, even now as we sit here in this hall. I wonder if Psalm 46 makes sense for you, that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And because of that, we will not fear. Why? Because He is mighty. He is our mighty fortress. He has conquered it all through Jesus. Trouble will come, but so is victory will come. And I do pray that God will really help us to see Him as our mighty fortress, as our ever refuge, ever help in times of need, because of the reality that we live in this world, where there is trouble, where there is wickedness, but we have assurance that our God is victorious. Let us pray. Once again, let's take just a few seconds as we reflect on the words of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Indeed, God, you are our fortress. You are our very present help in trouble. We thank you that you remind us that in this world there is trouble, but you are there with us. You are our refuge. You are our strength. You are victorious. And even as we go through our day-to-day life, we are assured of your ever-presence with us, that we are not alone, that all these battles are not ours, that you've won them. Thank you that Jesus conquered our greatest enemies on that cross. Sin and death has been dealt with. Thank you that Jesus continues to fight for us on our daily lives as we fight and overcome sin day after day. And even when we fall, He brings us to our knees before you. Thank you that one day Jesus will come and put an end to all the wickedness. We thank you that you are a God who acts. Lord, I pray for someone who might be here this morning, who's going through some troubles of this life, that, Lord, these words of Psalm 46 will bring hope, will bring assurance that in you they can overcome. In you they have hope. In you there is a better tomorrow that is awaiting. And Lord, thank you that you have prepared eternity for us, where one day all this trouble will cease. So we pray that as we start this new week, these words of Psalm 46 will continue to resonate in our ears and draw us closer to you, that the Holy Spirit will continue to apply them in our lives, that we'll keep reminding ourselves that you are our fortress, you are our refuge, and all this for your glory. We thank you, Lord, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.